Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Good Friday to you. Welcome in. Coming to you live from the Geico Outkick Studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. Today's show also brought to you by TrueCar. When it comes to selling or trading in your car, you need to make good choices. And with TrueCar, you got a star on your roster, so when you're ready to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar. True cash offer, not available in all areas. This show available everywhere, foxsportsradio.com, the iHeartRadio app, whatever your local affiliate is, and of course via the podcast. Just search Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis and make sure you get the entire archive dating back to day one. Don't miss a second. Clay will be on a little bit later today with Jason McIntyre, I believe, in for Dan Patrick. So that means Jeff Schwartz down in Charlotte, North Carolina, at Jeff Schwartz on Twitter. And I'm Jason Martin. It's for executive producer Clay's, that is, now the host of the Jason Martin Show on Sunday mornings here on FSR, as well as a daily host in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm on Twitter at JMartZone. The 4th is over. That only means that it's July 5th. What it doesn't mean is we know anything more about Kawhi Leonard, except that he's still trying to decide where he wants to play basketball. Or should I actually back up and say this appropriately and saying Kawhi Leonard's trying to decide how long he wants to be the center of attention before he makes the decision that he probably has already come to at least 2 or 3 days ago, if not weeks ago. Jeff, what's up, my friend?
Not much, man. You know, we had the Kevin Durant announce on July 4th, was it 2 years ago, 3 years ago now, in 2016. Mm-hmm. So we have had some action on July 4th before, but nothing from Kawhi. And look, we talked about this yesterday. And I tweeted about this yesterday. People got pretty upset about it.
You tweeted and somebody got upset?
Yeah, I know. Shocking. We got in a match yesterday. I don't know what I can say and what I can't say on this. I have no idea in terrestrial radio. I won't say anything bad. But we had this whole debate yesterday over natural disasters. Which one was the worst? It was so bad. There was an earthquake in L.A. yesterday. All I said was earthquakes are awful. You would never want to be in one. There's no warning. And people are like, well, what about hurricanes? I'm like, that wasn't the point of my tweet. Like, let's calm down, internet. It's okay. So with Kawhi Leonard, I tweeted out basically what we talked about yesterday, that Kawhi was loving this attention. And, you know, the typical response is about, well, it's a life decision. And he's uprooting his family. Well, guys, his family already lives in California. So going mm-hmm. to play in Toronto is uprooting his family. Remember this about athletes, guys. And this is for most athletes. We all have a permanent house, a permanent city we live in typically, that is not where we play. So during my career, I always had a house in Charlotte. I played my season in whatever city I was in, whether it was Minnesota, Kansas City, or up in New Jersey. I did have a house in New Jersey, but my primary resident was Charlotte. You know, I'd go home on the weekends during the offseason. As soon as, you know, the last day of the offseason program, I'm going right back to Charlotte, or really to Arizona, to work out. The second the season ends, I'm going back to Charlotte. So we have permanent homes outside of the city we play in. It doesn't make it easier to move every single year. I did it 4 years in a row where I was on a different team. It sucks. It's not very fun, but it's not that big of a deal for a guy like Kawhi who's going to have all this money. Remember, too, we talked about this yesterday, Jason, the money is not of a concern here. He's either getting a max deal in Los Angeles for the Clippers or the Lakers, which the price is set. There's no negotiation. It's a max contract. They're slotted contracts. He knows what it is. He knows what the taxes are. If he goes back to Toronto, I believe he can get a max as well. He can do the 2-year deal to get to the 10-year threshold to then get the super, super max with what, 35% kicker on top. So the money's not a concern. And I guess people don't sometimes understand the process of an athlete and the way they think about these type of things. It's pretty naive to think that Kawhi Leonard did not think at all about this process until the finals were over, right? It's kind of naive to think that. There's a lot of downtime. I'm sure he talked to his advisors about what's happening. He knows the personnel on the Lakers. He knows the personnel on the Clippers. He knows the personnel on the Raptors. He's making these visits to different teams just feel them out, especially the Lakers, I think, about their training staff, about how much power he has. Can he use LeBron's trainers? Can he not? And I don't understand the internal dilemma. Nothing's going to change now. After his visit with the Raptors, he should have had his mind made up. There's not going to be like a spark that just clicks. I mean, maybe there will be. I don't know. Over the next couple of days, he says, oh, well, I should be a Laker. I feel like if you wanted to be a Laker, you would have already signed with the Lakers. Just go back to the Raptors now. I find it hard to believe that no decision has been made. And to me, and I think you agree with me, it feels like he wants the attention of this search.
He has to, because we can actually kind of look at his options and know exactly what makes sense depending on what he values. But he already knows, where can I win easiest? That's probably going to be the Lakers. Where do I have the most familiarity? That's probably the Raptors. Which one just doesn't really make logical sense? Oh, that's the Clippers. I understand that you want to go to L.A. potentially because you have history there and you have roots there. But if you go to the Clippers, you're not going to win a championship. And I think Kawhi Leonard's the best player in the league because of what he's able to do on both sides of the floor. But even so, it would be Kawhi Leonard and some guys that are role players slash starters on some team. But I don't think that the collection you would be leaving in Toronto and the collection you would be inheriting with the Clippers would be enough to keep them near favorites, at least. They'd have to make some serious moves, and there's just not that many moves to make currently because so many of the guys that you would have maybe wanted to acquire. When I was thinking Clippers, I was thinking, all right, send Kawhi Leonard and Jimmy Butler there. Guys with this really tough-minded, win-at-all-cost mentality. And let's see how that plays and see whether or not that can sort of inject a different kind of energy. And you got a Patrick Beverley who I think kind of plays along those same lines. And a couple of those guys like a Lou Williams or a Montrezl Harrell. But because of you have to have multiple stars in this league, especially when you look down the rest of the NBA. And I can give you 11 teams, I think is what I had the other day. Just rattle them off the top of your head where you've got two either all-stars or two guys that are right there on the cusp of being all-stars. So you've got all of these couples, all of these pairs of superstars in all of these different places, which is why I wanted to see him go back to Toronto where it becomes him and Lowry or him and Pascal Siakam. And then you still have this parity where you have a bunch of really good basketball teams that can do things. If he goes to the Lakers, then you've got probably the three best, just the conglomeration on one team. Right. That's the best super team we've ever seen because the third option is so much stronger. Usually the one and two options are strong on both sides in the history of these super teams, but the third guy, whether it's a Bosch or a Kevin Love or whatever it is, LeBron's pitch reportedly was, I'll be the third option, Kawhi, right. Not you. I will be. Because I had originally thought the one thing, if I'm Kawhi Leonard and I love basketball as much as he does and I love winning as much as he does, the one thing I don't want to become is Chris Bosh or Kevin Love. Even though I'm sure maybe they had a good time, they also took a lot of the flack. And they were the ones that didn't get the basketball in their hands too often and had to resort to a 15 to 17 foot jump shot whenever they had the opportunity to take one. But just the decision itself, there is no new information that Kawhi Leonard is going to learn that he does not already have, that he has not already had for days. At this point, Kawhi Leonard's decision is like a political, it's like a social experiment almost. It's like, we can sit here, not on this show, thankfully, but we can sit here, we can debate abortion between a pro-choice and a pro-life person. And they can sit there and they can talk about that for, I don't know, 6 years. And nobody's going to change the other one's mind because all the information is out there. The one that believes it's murder is going to be on one side. The one that believes it's a woman's right to choose and it doesn't become one until birth, that person's going to be on that side. You're not going to change those minds. I can't imagine that Kawhi Leonard's mind could be changed at this point. So he's just, I don't think that it's out of bounds to say he's just sitting back with whatever grin Kawhi Leonard is capable of using, and he's just kind of enjoying this. He's enjoying the fact that he is the center of the sports landscape, the center of the sports universe. Just won a championship, and then three weeks later, it's still all about the claw. And more power to him. He's put himself in a position the way he's played over this year and pretty much throughout his career that it's probably cool to be sought after. It's cool to be wanted. And even a Kawhi Leonard that sometimes has been, and most of the time has been, almost a mute, where you weren't even sure what his voice sounded like until a couple of years ago when he did one interview with San Antonio. This is a guy that probably has gotten caught up in a little bit of the spotlight, wants to enjoy it because you never know whether or not you're going to get it again. And he's just soaking it in. And that makes him very like so many other athletes and so many other people that have the opportunity to just be the center of attention.
And all of us, we've had life decisions, right, that we've had to make before. And you know, the longer it takes sometimes to make the decision, it doesn't make it easier. It actually makes it tougher to make that decision. And you now, because when you are taking so much time to make this decision, you then run through all these scenarios in your head that don't really have anything to do with the actual decision, right? Like, you psych yourself up or out or whatever you want to say. And typically, if you make the decision earlier in the process, I think you feel better about it. Now he's just kind of, if he really is that torn, it's not haunting him, but it makes it worse to keep waiting and waiting and waiting. So I don't know what he is worried about. I know there's a thought that he's kind of focusing at least maybe a little bit on his kind of off the court ventures. I know Drake was at the meeting 2 days ago now, yesterday, so probably 2 days ago, talking about his alcohol brand. There's obviously in Los Angeles, what can LeBron help him with, or what can the Lakers help him with, or what can being in that city with the Claw, with New Balance and whatnot. I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. If you want to grow your brand, you do it in Los Angeles, not in Toronto. And I get that Drake is part of that pitch, but again, go to Los Angeles. I mean, that's where
right.
That's part of the reason why you go to LA, is to be able to do that. So I don't know what he's waiting for. Hopefully he announces today. Look, I'm a Lakers fan. I hope it's in LA. But as a Lakers fan in me too, this process, he's screwing the Lakers because he's not decided. The Lakers have missed out on everyone else. And rightfully so, to wait for Kawhi Leonard. I think Danny Green's like the only guy that would sign with the Lakers right now, who's sort of not even a star, just like a quality player who's waiting to see what is going to happen with Kawhi. Now, he might sign with the Lakers anyways, even if Kawhi comes there. I mean, I don't know how much money is going to be left, but that's basically it. We've lost out on everyone. Patrick Beverley went back to the Clippers. Darren Collison was a guy that was talked about. He's gone. One of the Lopez's.
Seth Curry's gone.
Seth Curry's gone. So it's basically Kawhi or bust for the Lakers, and there's not much depth left in the NBA. And one thing that we haven't mentioned about this decision-making process is we know that Kawhi wants to take 20 games off a year, right? He's the load management guy. He wants to take 20 games off. Well, there's really the best place to do that is in Los Angeles. You have two other superstars. Like, they don't need to play every night. In Toronto, he did it last year. I get all that. But they don't have the players at times to carry that team, especially with the East getting better now, whether it's Giannis will be better in another year. The Sixers got better. The Pacers got better. You can't sit out as many games in Toronto or with the Clippers. The Lakers, you can. You have two other superstars. So the logical decision is Los Angeles, and I'm a Lakers fan. I will admit that. Make the decision, dude. Just do it already. There's nothing to think about anymore. And yeah, I get it, everyone. It's a life-altering decision. I understand that. But if he has not thought about this until the finals ended, that's odd. And again, you go in as an athlete. You go into these meetings wanting specific things from the teams, right? In football, you want money. Money matters because you've only guaranteed contracts for so long throughout the life of your deal. That's not the problem for Kawhi. So he wanted to get assurances from the Lakers, especially about things that happen in the facility, the trainers, what, blah, blah, blah. If he heard what he liked, just sign with the Lakers already, man. Like, what are you waiting for? So I don't know. I don't know how long it's going to take. Maybe it'll be today. But it's he's holding the NBA world hostage right now.
He definitely is. And it's the topic. If you have thoughts on Kawhi and weren't able to get in yesterday, 877-99 on Fox. That's 877-996-6369. Does it ruin the league if Kawhi goes to the Lakers, or is it great for the league? That's a question that we didn't tackle necessarily in too much detail, and it's one of the things that is being discussed. I tend to think that if you were going to sign with the Lakers, you'd have done it already as well. But who knows with this guy? Because at this point in time, I can't believe that it hasn't been decided yet. And I wonder if there are people. You talk about how it's screwing the Lakers, Jeff. When we come back on the other side, we'll talk about just what the opinion of Kawhi Leonard is going to be because of how this process has gone out and how belabored this entire thing has been. So we'll do that coming back. And again, 877-99 on Fox to join us. But before we can get to all that, do it right to spruce up your outdoors by shopping Lowe's July 4th savings. You'll find great deals in store, like 5 bags of premium mulch now for just $10. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Valid in store only through July 10th while supplies last. U.S. only. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Also, I want to talk to Jeff about his iPad and other things that happened. Bad things on a flight from Jeff. We'll talk about that next. Jay Martin, Jeff in for Clay here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Well, Wu-Tang for you on a Friday. Outkick the Coverage radio program rolling along. Welcome back to the Geico Outkick Studios. Car shopping can be confusing with terms like dealer price, list price, and invoice. True Car shows you what other people pay for the car you want so you can recognize that good price. When you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Jason Martin, Jeff Schwartz in for Clay Travis. He'll be on a little bit later, in for Dan Patrick. Stick around for that, him and Jason McIntyre. We were talking Kawhi Leonard because, of course, we are. What's he going to do? Where's he going to go? 877-99 on Fox. That's 996-6369. The question is, if he goes to the Lakers, if that's still a thing that can happen or that does happen, does that wreck the league or does that make the league more interesting because it creates a villain? We'll dive more into that, but let's, you know what? I was wondering, we were trying to figure out why, Jeff, he had not made a decision yet.
Yes.
And I think Joe in Bakersfield has that answer for us. Joe, how are you? Joe, you with us?
Oh, Joe.
Joe, going once, buddy. Oh.
Joe. All right,
Joe was going to suggest some other locations for Kawhi Leonard.
Now we need JJ to come on the show to explain.
Joe was going to say that Boston would be a nice home for Kawhi Leonard. And what was the other team, Dub?
The Milwaukee Bucks.
Yes.
Well, they would be all great for Kawhi Leonard. I know we had the call yesterday. It was like, he should go to Dallas. Well, I mean, he's not considering Dallas. So, I don't know what it would be great. Okay, but he's not.
What did you think about? What did you think about the moving box incident a couple of weeks ago?
What moving box incident? He was in Europe. I missed.
He was buying his own moving boxes at Home Depot.
I like
Kawhi
it.
Was.
I like it. That's awesome. But again, athletes have multiple homes. He could just be boxing up 3 or 4 things to just send to Los Angeles or send to, I think he lives in San Diego County. Send to San Diego County. Get it out of Toronto. But I like the idea that he's doing it himself. That seems a very Kawhi move to do.
Yeah, see, I agree with you, but here's my problem with it. It's not that he did it. It's not that people filmed it. It's not any of that. It is, and it's not that he did it himself. It is that no one buys boxes. If you want to be a regular person, Kawhi Leonard, you take your butt to the liquor store and you say, did you guys put out some stock today? Where are the boxes? And you pack your stuff in a Captain Morgan box. Or you go to Walmart at 3 in the morning when they're unloading all the giant cereal boxes and you say, yeah, that Cocoa Puffs box over there, I'm going to need that. And then you can put half an apartment in that box. You don't buy boxes, Jeff. That's not what regular people do. Regular people go around and try to find other people's boxes to save $4 or $5 on each one.
Oh, I've never done that. I bought boxes. I've moved 7 times.
I've never bought a box in my life unless I was immediately shipping something and I did not have the proper container.
Kawhi has the type of money, though, where he can just someone to ship something.
Exactly. Well, that's my point. That's my whole point. If you're going to go buy boxes, then just have someone else buy the boxes, ship the stuff. duct tape this stuff and do it all for you.
Maybe you need a couple boxes for something, man. I don't know what you need them for.
It is kind of funny, though, to do that in Toronto, just to buy moving boxes when everybody's paying attention to every move you're making.
It's like the same with this. This reminds me so much of what happens in college sports, where we have all these coaches that are, you know, people are deciding where they're going to go, and they end up, you know, listing their house for sale. Or they end up, buying moving boxes, or the Christmas tree is out on the side of the road early and everyone freaks out. This feels a lot like that situation. But I think it's pretty savage just to go to Home Depot and buy boxes when you know everyone's watching you.
Right.
Is it possible, Jason, that he really does not understand?
That he actually is a robot? Like, he really doesn't understand how human minds work?
Yeah. Do you think that's possible?
And how he's perceived? I guess. I mean, he could be maybe just that deaf to everything that's going on around him, and he just flat out doesn't care. Recall that he said in the interview to Doris Burke, I don't know if it was at the end of the series or one game prior to the end of the series, when he said, I don't play for money, I don't play for fame, I don't play for the fans.
Yeah.
And then he sits there for 2 seconds, and it's like his mind is trying to calculate through binary code what just came out of his mouth. And so he doesn't go back and apologize. Actually, I do play for the fans. Of course, I mean, I'm nothing without the fans.
Yeah.
No, he just keeps on moving, and he just says, I play to win. It's just like, oh, boy,
this guy
doesn't care at all.
One of my favorites, too, was when a reporter – presumably from Toronto, asked him, what would this mean to the city? He goes, I'm not from Toronto. I don't care. Like, come on, man. Like, at least pretend.
Nah, like, he didn't care, man.
Seriously, he's like, that was like the gist of his answer. It was not word for word, but basically like, I don't know. I'm not from Toronto. Ask someone from Toronto.
Go ahead.
It just is like, it's amazing to me. It's like a robot. It's incredible. I love it.
It really is. Just mind-boggling to me. Let's go to Kentucky, and let's talk to Jeff in Kentucky, see what he has for us. Jeff, how are you?
Oh, doing fine. Hi.
Good. This is where you talk. You with us?
Everyone, when you call in, your radio should be off. You're listening to the show through your phone.
On delay.
Turn your radio off.
It's good stuff from the phone callers here.
This happened yesterday. This happened yesterday, too. My favorite part about this, by the way, is that Clay would have already lost his mind on the
yes.
on my dub for the callers being bad. It's like not his fault at all. It's amazing.
I keep looking at the board to make sure that the board is the way it's supposed to be. And I think we're going to have Dub walk over here and just make sure, because we're in sort of a different studio and options are changed and all of these various things are. I think it's right. Yep, Dub gives me the thumbs up. So that's what we're doing here.
Clay would have just lost it. I love when he just gets angry at y'all for no reason.
It's the best when he does that when he doesn't understand radio, which is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
It's incredible. But yeah, he would have blown up on that. I think it's humorous. I think it's just like you had you call up a radio show, you had your one shot to get on national radio. Like, you've sat and waited in your car, or you're at home, or whatever you're doing, and you had your one shot to get on national radio. And I'm sure Dub was like, turn your radio down. Same thing they tell everybody. And you get your shot to go, and then you don't know what to do, you can't talk, whatever it is, and like, you lose your opportunity. To me, people hold for 30, 45, an hour. Be ready to go, folks.
It's 877-99 on Fox. That's 996-6369. Dub just did walk over here and hit a different button on the board, so there could have been some option changed. Can't get help. We can't get good help here. I always wanted to see Clay just one day just screen calls and be a guy on the board up. He doesn't know how to hit record. He doesn't know how to actually get into a program to hit record either. Like, he's got to have somebody around to do those things. I'd just like to see him do it without actually telling him how it works, to see how close he could get. Because he always talks about what he can do. He can be the perfect wedding DJ. He can do all these various things. But can he run an audio board or screen phone calls for his own radio show?
I wouldn't know how to do that, but I don't pretend to know everything about my show. I did my Pac-12 show yesterday, Jason, and they told us, guys, our studio was down 2 days ago. We had to use a different studio. So they got back in the studio, and they were like, guys, no, they actually weren't. They were in the Sirius main studio in like a conference room. They go, guys, we don't know if the show's going to work today. Like, we think we're going to get on the air. We don't have, we can't, we have nothing to use. Like, we just are hoping that we're pressing this button and we're going to be on the air. We don't know if we're going to be like on break when we're supposed to be on break. Like, we're going to, like, don't talk for like 30 seconds after you go on break because we don't know if we're actually going to get to break. And they're like, all right, start the show. We just had no idea. Like, it's not just on this show where you have problems. Yeah, we just, that was what we were told like a minute before we got on the air. Like, I don't know if the show's going to work today, guys. We'll see. We talked about this yesterday, guys. Has anyone on the show watched the 30 for 30 on the competitive eating?
Which no, because I knew there was going to be a lot of footage of the competitive eating.
Yeah. So I did this show yesterday. I did my Pac-12 show from 10 to 1 yesterday, Eastern. And then I had lunch, and I wanted to take a little bit of a nap. My kids were sleeping, too. So I put on the 30 for 30, the eating one. I literally fell asleep within, like, 2 minutes. It was that riveting. Just fell right to sleep.
Well, did you hear that interview? He's like, hey, Joey, about the fifth minute, you slowed down
there.
He's like,
yeah, I guess I did.
He's like, yeah, I was going really quick, and then I slowed down. I was like, well, thank you very much for that update.
When I woke up, by the way, the show was still on, and Joey Chestnut had just, like, thrown up in, like, training, and I was like, yeah, glad I missed this episode. And 30 for 30 are fantastic. I love a lot of them. But I was like, this one just doesn't...
OJ made in America a little bit better than... whatever this thing is called.
It doesn't interest, like, literally, like, this, it does not interest me. I will watch a ton of stuff. I watch, I like documentaries. I watch random stuff. I have no interest whatsoever in learning about competitive eating. I competitive eat all the time, myself, by myself. I don't need to know what this is. Like, I just no interest whatsoever. So I'm probably never going to watch it.
Yeah, it's just not one that intrigues me either. And I can't get past the whole dipping the hot dog in water thing.
God.
You put the bun
in the water.
Yeah.
And just watching, like, as a kid, I think I used to watch this just in fascination, right? Like, you're a kid and everyone's talking about it. You want to just, like, see what it's about. And then the older you get, like, I think I saw some highlights yesterday. And I was like, whoa. I'll pass on watching this. I would like to call in and let me know if you're an adult. Do you still like watching the hot dog eating contest?
I never really watched that as a kid either. I mean, I guess what? Chestnuts won 12 in a row, and then it was Kobayashi before that. I would see that it was on, and I would say, oh, okay, Kobayashi's won. But it was kind of like Tyson fights back in the day when I was too young. My parents weren't buying me the Tyson fights, so I would just have to see what happened. And I'd be like, it'd almost be like the way I watch baseball now, which is through the box scores, not actually sitting down watching 9 innings of a game. Like, ah, good, Austin Riley hit another home run for the Braves. Awesome. That's my squad. Still not going to go to Fox Sports Southwest or Southeast and watch 9 innings of Braves baseball. Not too often anymore. I kind of wish that I did. We talk about the sports calendar being dead. And this was an argument or a thought that I had a few weeks ago. People were lamenting and saying, you know, that this was done by like an old-time crew and all this kind of stuff where you wanted to be able to vacation in the summer so you didn't want important sports. That's false. If you really think about it, baseball used to matter. And so that's all you needed during the summer because everybody absolutely loved baseball. And now that that's not necessarily the case and people are just waiting to get to the fall for the start of football season, baseball season is the dead period. And it's because baseball has lost, I would say, much of the hold that it used to have. And I know, Jeff, you used to play. You know, you played baseball before you played football. You care about the sport still quite a bit. You find ways to make it interesting for you. I hate the fact that I don't really care about it anymore. And I guess maybe if I lived in the right market, that would change. But like I said, the Braves were the first team that I ever adopted as a kid. I mean, that's the longest fandom I've ever had. And I just can't get too excited to sit there and watch a baseball game for 4 hours.
You know, the reason why a lot of us grew up, not Braves fans, but knowing the Braves and watching them and the Cubs.
Yeah, it's WTBS.
They were on TBS and WGN.
Yeah.
and you come home from school and there's baseball on. We don't have that. They're on the regional channels now. I haven't gambled since June 18th because I went on my trip, and I just haven't gambled since then. Like, I just haven't felt the need to gamble on baseball. I'll tell you what, I have not paid attention to baseball almost at all. I used to pay attention every night because I was gambling. I was checking scores to see what's happening, and like, I haven't missed it at all, which I think maybe to your point is just baseball not exciting right now. And it used to be the time of year, and the All-Star game is next week. It's always around my birthday. My birthday is next weekend, so it's always around that time. And the All-Star game has lost its luster for, I think, a couple of reasons. One is that the All-Star game used to be the only time of year you'd see the other side of you know, if you were like, I grew up an NL fan, a Giants fan. It's the only time I got to see AL teams play was the All-Star game, or players, I should say. It was the All-Star game because you didn't have interleague play. Now you have interleague play, so it diminishes the star, I think, in my opinion, watching those stars playing the All-Star game. And I think that a lot of us, the older we get, we realize that, you know, the game doesn't mean very much, and we're not taking time out of our days or nights, especially with kids and other obligations, to watch a game that doesn't matter. And that's why MLB tried to make it matter. But that was stupid anyways, to determine home field advantage by an All-Star game that the players aren't taking seriously. And you have to include one player from every team, which is ridiculous. Some teams don't deserve any players in the All-Star game. So it's really lost its luster, and I see why it has.
I got an interesting out of the box question. You're a big Game of Thrones guy, and of course, yes, you still watch The Office at least until NBC pulls it off of Netflix in 2021 and puts it on its own streaming service.
I think it's a bad decision to put it on its own streaming service.
Yeah, one thing to think about is the talk over the last couple of years has been, see, cut the cord, and then you can get what you want. We live in an a la carte society. You can do whatever you want. You can just get the content that you want. And now, because they are sort of splitting and severing it so many different directions, there's going to be a rush. I feel like somebody's going to come up with an idea that's going to seem completely new that's not, and they're going to say, you know what? I can give you all of this stuff in one package. You know what that package is called? That package is called cable. That's food for thought. But the question I had was just going to be what you're watching now that Game of Thrones is gone. Like, what's the show that you're looking to go to? And that's something I think we can talk about is in the absence of Game of Thrones, what's everybody out there watching? What are you guys actually doing, especially during a dead period? I know you might be vacationing and all, but what are you streaming on Netflix? Is it a Stranger Things time now that hit yesterday? I feel like probably a lot of you are doing that. 877-99 on Fox. That's 996-6369. Don't be like Joe and Jeff. And I don't mean Jeff with a G. I mean, I think with a J from Kentucky. Or you guys can call back. Maybe we have these options figured out. Can't get good help these days. We'll be right back with Outkick the Coverage on Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Finishing up the first hour on a Friday, Outkick the Coverage radio program here on Fox Sports Radio. We're in the Geico Outkick studios. Go further than ever. And you can do that with the Discover at Miles card. They automatically match the miles you earn at the end of your first year. So that 25 or 35,000 miles, that could become 70,000. Discover at Miles, limitations apply. Discover match for new card members only. Learn more at discover.com/travel. Jeff Schwartz, @JeffSchwartz on Twitter with me. I'm Jason Martin, @JMartZone. Clay Travis will be in on the Dan Patrick Show with Jason McIntyre a little bit later on. Ryan Bershinger, Brian Finley, Roberto Flores, W. Yarbrough, the quartet spinning the dials radio style for us out in radio land. Let's go to Maryland. We're going to try this again. 877-99 on Fox. That's 996-6369. Ben is in Maryland. Ben, how are you?
How are you doing, sir?
Doing well, sir. What do you have for us today?
I was calling in to discuss a hot dog eating contest.
Okay, of course you are. Yeah. What do you have for us?
I'm a nurse. My wife's a nurse, and we are both sports junkies. We watch SportsCenter over and over again. There's absolutely no way you can get into the hot dog eating contest. It's too gross. You're talking about a human being eating
71 hot dogs?
Hot dogs. Yeah, man, that's about 69 too many. And if I could, real quick, I do want to comment. I think it's interesting. I laugh with you guys that people comment and they have absolutely nothing to say. Absolutely nothing. You wait so long to have your one shot to say hello, and you don't get to say anything.
Fair point. Fair point, Ben. Appreciate it. You had one shot there.
He did it. He landed it.
He did. He heard us, and he spoke, clearly enough that we knew what he was saying. And yes, the hot dog eating contest is so indeed gross. Zach is in Virginia. He's up next here on Outkick the Coverage. Zach, what's up?
The hot dog eating competition is a tradition on 4th of July.
Yes.
You gotta watch it.
All right, we're going to let you go. We're going to let you go, Zach, and get out of that wind tunnel. And get off that tarmac or wherever it is that you're calling
it. You don't have to do something because you've always done it.
Yeah, I was about to say, there are a lot of bad traditions that probably should go away, should have gone away a long time before they did, just because it is a thing. And look, Nathan's does a cool deal where they give, 100,000 hot dogs to a local food bank every year during this thing, but they could still do that even without a contest.
Correct.
Or just have, I mean, you can have the contest. Look, if you like it, that's fine. I don't know anyone that plans their day around, let's see this hot dog eating contest from start to finish. I saw the report in the Fox Sports email that we get multiple times a day that gives us sort of the update on what's happening in sports, and it said that Joey Chestnut won, and I said, well, I could have predicted that that was going to happen, even though I know that ESPN was trying to say that there was another challenger out there. I'm like, no, there's really not. Or there hasn't been for 12 years. We talked about dynasties and how they don't last as long. The Warriors are supposed to dominate the league for 10 years.
Yeah.
They got three titles out of that, and Durant's out of town, and Iguodala's out of town, and Klay Thompson's down for 9 months, and all of this. This is a dynasty for Joey Chestnut.
It is. Do you know how much the champion of the hot dog eating contest makes for his win? Or her win.
I think that I have read this before. I've read like all of the competitive eating money, but I don't know how much they make.
$10,000. It's not enough, in my opinion, to eat 71 hot dogs.
Well, you've got to prepare yourself. I guess if you hadn't fallen asleep 2 minutes into the 30 for 30, you might have seen like how they prepare their stomachs and all of the training that goes into this for Joey Chestnut and people of his ilk. I mean, it's a full-time job, I guess, or maybe, I guess it can't be if you're making $10,000 for the most famous eating contest in the world. What does Joey Chestnut do for a living? Does anybody know? Is it just this?
He probably had sponsors.
Yeah, I guess. It's disgusting. That's what it is. Kevin Durant, we're going to talk about that and more Kawhi coming back.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hour number two, day after July 4th, recovery day for some of you. We're coming to you live from the Geico Outkick Studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. We're also brought to you by TrueCar. When it comes to selling or trading in your car, you need to make good choices. And with TrueCar, you got a star on your roster. So when you're ready to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar. True cash offer not available in all areas. Jeff Schwartz, Jason Martin in for Clay. Clay will be in a little bit later on this morning on the Dan Patrick Show along with Jason McIntyre. That ought to be fun. I'm sure they'll be talking about Kawhi Leonard because that's what we're all talking about in the sports world. Jeff's at Jeff Schwartz. I'm at JMartZone, 877-996-6369. That's 877-99 on Fox if you would like to join us. Kendrick Perkins said yesterday on ESPN that Kevin Durant never bounced back from the Draymond Green situation. Quote, KD never bounced back. And I think the Warriors had a chance to sign KD, but when that situation occurred and the Warriors tried to clean it up by suspending Draymond, they suspend Draymond, and then about 2 months later, the owner comes back out and says he wants Draymond there for life, right? He wants him there for life. Yeah. It's hard to say they took KD for granted, but I think he felt it was best for him to leave, and it's hard to overcome that. There were some harsh words, unquote. I don't think it's a giant surprise. As soon as that situation happened, I thought Kevin Durant was gone. And that, of course, was before Christmas last year. And it was after a Clippers game, and it did result in a one-game suspension for Draymond. But I think that the owner coming out and saying what he did, he knows Draymond probably wants to be there for life. Yeah. Kevin Durant never felt like he fit. And then there's the other speculation, Jeff, that's come out about he didn't really like being coached by Steve Kerr. He didn't like the star treatment for Steph Curry.
Oh my God.
I don't know what on earth? First off, I don't know how much of that is true, but Kevin Durant would have to be even more tone deaf than Kawhi Leonard to everybody paying attention to him being the center of attention right now, not to know when he went there he was joining Stephen Curry's team. He wasn't going there to resurrect some franchise. You go to the Knicks, then it's your team. You go to the Nets, I think most people are still going to see it as your team. I can't imagine anybody saying it's Kyrie's team over Kevin Durant's. But when you go to someone that's already won a championship, won, you know, an MVP, the only unanimous MVP in the history of the NBA, all of this, the affable nature, everything about Steph Curry, you were joining Steph's team. In fact, you were joining Steph and Klay's team. You were joining the Splash Brothers. You were joining this cusp of dynasty kind of thing. You, I don't know if the reason was just you wanted to win titles easier. I don't know what exactly the mindset was. It just had to be that he thought winning finally, because when he lost, I bet it was heartbreaking losing in Game 7 after being up 3-1 and then letting the Warriors come back to win that series against Oklahoma City, and then you left in the offseason. It had to be, well, Russell Westbrook's kind of an ass. I don't really want to play around him anymore. I want to win championships because I'm unhappy. And then he goes there and he doesn't win, or he does win and he realizes that doesn't make him happy either, which is was my whole sort of diatribe yesterday, that you can't chase happiness. It can find you, but you can't find it. And even when you when it does find you, a lot of times it's fleeting. But if Kevin Durant didn't know he was joining Steph Curry's team, Jeff, I don't know what to tell him.
Has there been a professional athlete in recent memory or recent history for you, Jason, who has been more sensitive than Kevin Durant?
I, what's weird is I didn't know this. And then that article came out in the Oklahoman.
We didn't know this out of Oklahoma City. But remember, Oklahoma City, he got upset that they wrote a nasty article about him in the papers there, about him not being able to close out series and whatnot. And then he just, I think mentally, he miscalculated, not the backlash is the wrong word, but the strong feelings people have about him going to the team that he couldn't beat, team up with already a championship-level team, a 73-win team. And the fact is, I guess I don't understand why he thought he would pass over Steph Curry to be the champion of the Warriors. Steph Curry is the face of the modern NBA movement of shooting three-pointers. Like, he is the face. He's not the one who started it. He's not the starter. He is the face of this movement to rec league basketball, to high school basketball, to college basketball, to shooting more three-pointers. He's the face of it. He's the face of turning the Warriors from a dumpster fire to a championship-level caliber team, a dynasty. He was never going to pass him as a fan favorite. And to miscalculate that, to me, just seems like just not due diligence on his part, and or at least not being honest with himself. I had a high school football coach who said, don't lie to yourself. It's a great advice. Don't lie. We all know when we're lying to ourselves. I felt like he lied to himself in this instance. He knew deep down this was going to be Steph Curry's team. He thought he'd be able to turn it into his team. It was never going to be the case. And how could you not get along with Steve Curry? He seems like the nicest person ever and such a player's coach. And he's just sensitive, man. And it ain't going to get any better than in New York media. Are you kidding me? It's just like, no. It's going to be worse.
Yeah. I'm, is there any possible way he didn't think this through? And he thought, okay, well, I know Steph's going to get most of the credit here, but I'm not going to care. I'm going to go there and win titles. It's going to be fun. And then all of a sudden he realized he did care. Because he's got a giant ego and he's got a pride problem and he doesn't understand how to take criticism well. And it's weird, like I said, because when we watched him in Oklahoma City, the narrative about him was so different than what he has turned out to be. And, of course, you saw Bob Myers crying after the re-injury and all, and talking about how he's so misunderstood and how he just loves playing basketball and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I don't know that he loves anything. I think he probably does love playing basketball. But he's still trying to figure out how basketball can fulfill him somehow. And the decisions that he's made, I think, have been a detriment to whatever that quest was going to end in.
I think it has, too. And I don't know if he's going to find happiness with the Nets. I want to take one side. The Warriors retiring his number is so ludicrous.
Oh, it's the weakest. It's the weakest thing I've ever seen.
Warriors, you don't have to appease Kevin Durant anymore. He's gone. Nothing you have to do. He's left. He's gone. You don't have to retire his jersey. You don't have to make a scene about it. He's left. You have D'Angelo Russell now. You have Steph. You have an injured Klay. Hopefully be back at some point this season. You have Draymond. You have Kevon Looney. Like, you have your team. Durant is no longer there. Don't have to suck up to him anymore. It's done. It's such an odd move to continue to suck up to Kevin Durant in this situation to make him feel like he is worthy of what he's accomplished. So he should know that already. To your point, I'm not sure that it was a total. I think just Kevin Durant miscalculated the love for Steph Curry and that he was never going to become the man. Remember, he has been arguably the 1B player, 1A player for many years now, and he's never been able to kind of crack LeBron. Even in the NBA Finals, when he played well against LeBron, people still view LeBron as the better player than Kevin Durant, and that bothers him to no end, right? He's always kind of second fiddle to LeBron James, and that bothers KD. I think this drives a lot of what KD's emotions are, is the fact that as good as he is, as one of the best players of all time, he is still not the best player of his generation. And that thing bothers him to no end.
Well, and he's got to get over that because somebody out there is always going to make more money than you. Somebody out there always is a little bit smarter than you. Somebody out there has a hotter wife than yours. There's always somebody out there. If you want to try and find a reason, it's going to be there for you. You have to create some idea behind that. But if that's what you're trying to do, then Kevin Durant is never going to be satisfied. Because let me tell you what the next big problem for Durant is, and this is something we discussed in a little bit of detail yesterday. How happy is Kevin Durant going to be when he realizes his body can't do what he needs it to do when he tries to come back from this injury?
It's going to be tough, and I've gone through the rehab before. I broke my ankle twice. I've had six surgeries total in the NFL. It's a humbling feeling when your body just can't do what it's always been able to do. I remember watching myself on film, and thinking to myself, that looks that way. Like I really did that, because I thought in my mind during the game that I was doing something else, that my body was moving quicker than it was, that my feet were working in a certain way, and then I watched film and I'm like, nah, that's not quite what I thought I felt on the field. And I think with Kevin Durant, he's going to feel that way. People are going to say, well, he'll just be a jump shooter, and that's what he'll make his career out of if he doesn't come back 100%. But he has used his legs to create opportunities for him. It's how he got injured in Game 5. I think the plan was really for him not to move as much, and we saw the first three shots he made were just kind of step-up threes, didn't have to move very much, and then all of a sudden he makes a move and he pops his Achilles. Well, the same thing is going to be true when he's back from his Achilles. They're going to tell him to limit his movement, but he's a player who uses his legs to get shots at times, and he's going to use his legs at times to get shots. And that, to me, is going to be where he runs into a lot of the problems, is he's not going to be able to move the same. If you think that Kevin Durant is going to be the same player after this, you're pretty naive to how bad an Achilles injury is. Plus, being over 30 years old that Durant is makes it even worse.
If you're back to the retiring the 35 after three full seasons almost with the Golden State Warriors, do you think, Jeff, this happens if that injury doesn't happen and Durant just leaves? Whether or not they win or lose the NBA Finals and he leaves and goes to Brooklyn or he goes to the Knicks or wherever he goes, if it's not for the injury, like how much of the fact that you are retiring this guy's jersey immediately, like not even after, I get it, Shaq has jerseys retired in multiple arenas, and there are other guys that have that as well. And I could almost see retiring it later on, maybe, or at least it would make more sense. I don't think he was there long enough for you to retire the number, but that's just a personal opinion. But when he gets hurt, do you think there's some semblance of guilt within the Warriors organization?
Yes.
Knowing how tough that is and knowing maybe that they did not do what they needed to do to get the information to properly make that decision for him. And maybe they felt like they pushed him back out onto the floor or whatever it might be.
It is for Kevin Durant to not know the risks, to be the athlete that he is, would be surprising to me, considering all the people he has around him to get second and third opinions. He knows his body, obviously. Would the Warriors have put him back on the court if they thought he was going to tear his Achilles? I think there's no way. I mean, we saw them be overly cautious with Klay Thompson right before Kevin Durant got hurt. I think they feel bad that it's a freak injury and it happened under their watch. I do not think there was any sort of malpractice by the Warriors.
But do you think that this happens in terms of the 35 not being worn again if he does not get hurt and there's not some level where they feel culpable in some way for what happened to him?
I think that's fair, yes. I don't think, I think it does not get retired if he is healthy. I don't think he even goes to the Nets if he's healthy. I think he goes to the Knicks. I think a lot, I think the NBA changed when he got hurt.
I mean, it can sometimes be one thing that becomes a catalyst for everything else. But I can tell you, if you needed a caveat to make a decision to retire a number, that's not a good reason to retire a number. Like, that needs to be a 100% obvious decision. And it's not. Not in 2019.
How many Warriors fans do you think want his number retired? Zero?
I mean, notice that Oklahoma City had somebody wear 35 the next season after Durant left. I know. There was some Alex Morgan tea being sipped in that thing. But I can't imagine Warriors fans look at this and say, yeah, that guy, like, what's next? You can put a statue outside of Kevin Durant while he's still playing? That's the other thing. He's still playing in the league. Like, it doesn't feel like you should be retiring jerseys of dudes that are still actively playing. It's always kind of rang false to me. But I feel like there should also be a minimum. Like, if I'm in the franchise, if you haven't been with us for 5 years, I don't think we can retire your number. Because at that point, you're sort of a mercenary. You weren't there long enough to be much more. I know it's not a one-year rental like it turned out to be in a couple of spots, but it was a three-year rental, and as soon as he realized he wasn't happy, he just went ahead and rolled on you. I don't know that that's somebody whose number you retire. He's left two different franchises. If he stays for the rest of his career in Brooklyn, and somehow he wins a couple of championships, I think that's a couple more than I'm expecting him to win. I don't think they'll win a single championship with him and Kyrie Irving as whatever it is when he comes back. And who knows how happy Kyrie Irving is going to be, how adjusted he's going to be, especially after what's going to be a real lean year for the Nets. He doesn't strike me as a guy, this Kyrie Irving, that's going to take real kindly to sucking really bad this year. And I feel like that the Nets in a better East are just going to fall back in the pack, and it's just going to be like, well, this is a waste of a year. We're waiting for Kevin Durant to come back next year. Imagine if KD comes back and both him and Kyrie, who I don't know if he still believes the world is flat or not, but imagine he comes back and Kevin Durant's not Kevin Durant, and then Kyrie Irving realizes that. Like, how fast is he going to want out of town then?
Are we sure that he actually believes that?
I don't know. I've never spoken to him, Jeff. I just know.
Why is he not? We need to get him on the phone today.
Yeah, absolutely. Go. I feel like he's another one that we would ask, you know, what do you have for us? And he wouldn't talk. I feel like he would blow the phone call as well. 877-99 on Fox. That's 877-996-6369 to join us. When we come back, NFL free agency and NBA free agency. Jeff, I know you wrote about this. NBA free agency was a bonanza, and it was a ton of fun. They put it in prime time on Sunday night. We're all sitting there watching it. All these things are happening. Is it possible to do it in the NFL? Is it a good thing if it's being discussed at all? We'll talk about that coming up next here on Outkick the Coverage on Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Chronic 2001, welcome back to the Geico Outkick Studios. Car shopping can be confusing with terms like dealer price, list price, and invoice. True Car shows you what other people paid for the car you want so you can recognize a good price. When you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. I'm Jason Martin, Jeff Schwartz with me, as usual. Clay Travis in with Jason McIntyre a little bit later on for Dan Patrick. 877-99 on Fox. That's 996-6369. That's how you join us. Before we turn the page and start talking elsewhere, let's talk about Kevin Durant and this Warriors jersey thing one more time. I think his name is Blue. He is in Kentucky. Let's talk to Blue. Blue, what's up, man? Blue, you with us?
Yeah.
All right, good deal. Yeah, you're good. Well, we thought you were good. Talk to us.
I'm here.
Go.
Sorry. I thought that was Dub. I didn't know I was on air.
Yeah, you're on air.
I was calling in reference to Durant. I do disagree with you guys respectfully. I think that him coming there and taking less money than he's worth and helping them getting two finals MVPs, helping them hoist two trophies, and at the end risking, you know, his career getting hurt to try to come out and have him come back to the finals. I think you do everything you can to keep that relationship positive. Not only that, they were able to work out a deal where he could get a supermax and he could help them get a valuable piece that may either they trade Russell are they keeping, but he's something they can use to stay in the playoff hunt until Clay comes back. I mean, it seems like a really good mutual relationship, and down the road he might be a guy that comes back to California if he's retired and helps them recruit players in the future. I see nothing wrong with it.
So do you retire Draymond Green's jersey, Iggy's jersey, Clay's jersey, Steph's jersey? Do you retire everyone who's won multiple championships there?
I wouldn't retire. Well, I guess you got to consider Iggy because he got a Finals MVP. But I wouldn't go Iggy. But anybody that's
going to be a Hall of Famer,
perennial
you know
All Star,
right?
And win championships. Yeah,
that's a lot of jersey retiring.
Yeah,
a lot
I don't of jersey know retiring. You're going to have people wearing three digits. Some way that you're going to have that. I mean, Curry, yes. Klay Thompson, yes. Draymond, I'd say yes. Durant, he just wasn't there long enough. I mean, I don't think you need your jersey retired to come back and recruit players to the Warriors. First off, I don't think Durant's going back to Golden State to recruit players for the Warriors anyway. If he's recruiting anywhere, I don't know. I don't think it's Oklahoma City either. Maybe he goes to Washington
nowhere.
And tries to help without goes
home. Recruiting nowhere. He's a man with no home. He's not recruiting anybody, and that really is not as big of a deal as people might think it is. I mean, obviously you have the situation where Durant is being recruited, right? And Kevin and Kawhi Leonard is being recruited, but a lot of these players are just signing with the team that gives you the most money. like Kemba Walker, there's no recruiting. Boston wanted him. They wanted the Supermax. That was it. Like the Lakers, I mean, the Hornets were not giving it to him. So he went there. And so there's less recruiting than we kind of think there is. But
except Magic Johnson. I mean, like, Kevin Durant's not Magic. Like, it would be maybe he's doing this 10 years after his playing career is over, but which I doubt as well.
But he doesn't have a home, though. Like, which
right.
team? Magic is a Hall of Famer
exactly.
who played for the Lakers
his whole
career.
Yes.
And he has the personality to do that. Kevin Durant doesn't have the personality to be a recruiter, in my opinion. And Magic, obviously, that's the number one thing. I've seen Magic at the gym in Los Angeles that my mom goes to. And every time I'm in L.A., I go there for a couple days. And he goes to that gym and he goes to Gold's Gym. And, like, the amount of people that come up to him, first of all, guys, he's working out. Don't come talk to him. But Magic, like, shakes everyone's hand, has a smile on his face. He's, like, walking on a treadmill. People come over. He's high-fiving them. Like, the charisma and the ability to always be on. He's talking about it before. He loves people, right? He loves being around people. But even in an instance where he's getting a workout in, where you think maybe he might be turned off by people coming to talk to him, that's who he is, right? He loves people, and he's a great recruiter. I don't see Durant as being a guy who is that way. So to be the quote-unquote recruiter for an organization, you have to love the idea of doing that. Magic definitely does. I mean, it's basically why he retired or not retired, why he resigned, I should say, from the Lakers post. He just wanted to be fun-loving Magic again and not get charged for tampering every time he opened his mouth. Now he can do that again. So I can't see Kevin Durant ever recruiting for any team unless he becomes the owner, obviously, of a team. I don't know why you'd own a team, by the way. A lot of players talk about wanting to own teams eventually. It doesn't seem very fun.
You also have to have a ton of money.
Like you can buy yourself a courtside seat that's probably cheaper than buying a franchise. Like Jordan never looks like he's having fun when he's at the games owning a team.
It is the Hornets.
And hey, now you take that back. I will say the Hornets arena, and I live here in Charlotte, it's just the worst. Like the atmosphere. At the
it's like
games,
the Tampa Bay Rays.
It's just the atmosphere is. And I got spoiled growing up going to Lakers games at the Forum, which is, I don't know if there's any better atmosphere. Probably maybe the Garden and the Forum. But, like, man, like, it is just the amount of promotions and, like, the amount of just stuff that happens. It's just brutal, man. Oh, man, it's not very good. Not very fun to go to a game.
So 48 guys moved in the first 12 hours of free agency for a total of $3.175 billion. Which I tweeted out at the time from @JMartZone is like the GDP of several small countries.
Yeah.
Just absolutely insane money moving around, Jeff. And I know you wrote a couple of days ago about not necessarily the differences between NFL and NBA free agency, but there's clamor. It says, man, this could be fun in the NFL. NFL is a lot more about the NFL draft than it is about free agency, the way that it's set up. So what is your take there?
Yeah, well, NBA free agency almost dwarfs the entire season, at least dwarfs the regular season by far. And you mentioned $3.1 billion. I think it's up to like $3.5 now of money given out. And remember, what's interesting about NBA contracts, we often talk about the guaranteed money. It's actually not written in their CBA. They have to be guaranteed. It's just accepted that the contracts are guaranteed. So like the language in the contract says it's guaranteed, but not, it's not bound by the CBA. Which is interesting about the NBA. They just have agreed that they're guaranteed. So you got me thinking, like, the NFL free agency period typically is kind of dead. And the guys that are available sign off, of course, right away. Because Schefter has those tweets in the draft box ready to go. 4 p.m. on Tuesday hits, and boom, 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 boom. Everyone signs. You go for the most money, typically, most guaranteed money, I should say. And you move on your day. And there's nothing really exciting about that. The number one reason why there's nothing exciting about it, compared to at least really the NBA free agency, is the franchise tag. The franchise tag was put into place in, I believe, 1993. And I think the idea behind the franchise tag was to limit stars' movement, like your number one star.
Yeah.
Obviously.
You want them to stay in smaller markets and not all go to Dallas and LA and whatever.
A franchise tag, by the way, is a really a tag, a one-year contract given to one player on the team. It's an average of like the top five salaries at that position. It's a one-year deal. Once you sign the tender, you're guaranteed for injury and skill for the year. But it suppresses wages. And part of that, I think, part of the franchise tag is to suppress wages for the superstars so you can spread the money around. Well, that doesn't really work. There's no middle class anymore. But what the franchise tag does, it forces players – force may be the wrong word, but it encourages players to sign deals earlier and not head to free agency. So really, for the purposes of our discussion, quarterback is the position that is the one that needs to be unlocked to allow free agency to change in the NFL. Because they're the superstars. And for them to be able to move, and the franchise tag holds that back. If you have no franchise tag, you would allow players after their 4 or 5 year contracts as rookies to be open to the free market. It would really change the dynamic of free agency. Another part, along with the franchise tag being dumped, and then imagine if Pat Mahomes was a free agent, Aaron Rodgers, they make $60 million a year, is we have a hard cap in the NFL. The NBA has a soft cap. There's a luxury tax. There's a repeater luxury tax. So Oklahoma City, for example, if they don't want to pay the repeater tax, which is even worse, they have to dump some contracts before, I think it's September 1st, or they're going to pay like an extra luxury tax. The best teams in the NBA typically are above the luxury tax. They don't care. They're making so much money in the playoffs. They're winning championships. They'll pay the luxury tax. Mm-hmm. The NFL is a hard cap. You have to be under the hard cap at certain times, especially before free agency starts. And I think once a season begins, you can be over the cap because you have to sign a bunch of players if guys get hurt and whatnot. But by the start of the league year in March, you have to be under the hard cap. What if we make a tweak to that structure, Jason? And we say you can one player on your team, that contract will not count against the cap. So
does that mean to get an extra guy? Or does that mean pay somebody based on what they're actually worth?
One of the 53 can make whatever you pay them, and you designate that player to not count against the cap.
So you could pay Aaron Rodgers $70 million a year?
Yes.
Okay.
You like that idea?
Yeah, I mean, that's similar to Clay's idea, which I actually agree with, about the top 30 guys in the NBA. They can make whatever the market says. Like, I think the estimate was that Durant on the open market this year could have made between $75 and $80 million a year before the injury, at least. Before the Achilles, that would have brought it down. But that would encourage, because it's 30 guys, you would assume one of them would be on every team because they could make that kind of money, and then everything else would be under a cap structure.
How do you determine the top 30 guys?
I mean, that's a good question. Maybe it's just your team, you can have one guy like that.
Right. Or maybe if you take the all stars, or you take the NBA first team, the NBA all NBA teams, which are 15 guys, and those are 15 guys.
Imagine being the 31st guy.
Yeah, like I don't know how you do that. That's why I say
like
one
Klay
every
Thompson
team.
Not being able to get that supermax contract because he didn't make the all NBA team.
Well, he didn't.
Right.
That obviously was atrocious. He learned about that in real time too. That was a brutal interview.
Tell
I mean, look, he's still getting paid. Don't get me wrong, but still, you want to obviously you're greedy. You want to make more money.
Cost him like $40 million.
Yeah, and the third thing, and this is the hard part to figure out. And I actually, when I wrote the article, I basically left it open ended. I go, I don't know how to solve this issue, but this would help. And my editor was like, you kind of have to give me like an answer. So, which is like, if the NFL were to find a way to guarantee more money, but more on a uniform basis. So in the NBA, we have supermax deals and max deals, right? So they're slotted contracts based off the salary cap, based off how many years you played, based off the all NBA teams. Right? There's a formula for that.
And it's all percentage based.
It's a percent. But you know heading into free agency what your number is. So if you're shopping yourself around different teams, the money's not a concern unless you want to take less, obviously. It would take a 2-year deal, whatever. But if you're looking for the max deal, if you're Kemba Walker and you're looking around the NBA, you can get a certain Larry Bird rights in Charlotte and make more money on your max deal, or go to the Celtics and make X amount of money on your max deal. It'll be the same if you went to the Bucks, be the same if you went to the Knicks. It's a max deal. Now, obviously, taxes play after taxes guy. I know Clay's favorite plays a role in all this. But nonetheless, you know what you're getting. Well, the NFL obviously is not like that. And a lot of us just go where the most guaranteed money is. So even in free agency, what could be a wilder free agency period really isn't, because a team calls you, hey, we're going to give you $10 million guaranteed. The next team calls you, says, we're going to give you $12 million guaranteed. You go to the $12 million team. And done. Like, that's how simple it is. Done. And so if there was a way to make it more uniform, whether it was you have a slotted contract, which I
so the money if the money's the same in places, then people are making decisions based on things that aren't the money, and
right.
So then
and
you can
that,
actually look around and pick based on situation rather than bank account,
right? And that's also thing would allow it to be a more enjoyable free agency. Is you have guys just not choosing based on the money only.
Be a lot more unpredictable.
Yes. They're choosing on location, on teammates.
People they want to play with. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I agree. I think that makes a lot of sense. Let's go to Brian Finley real quick before we get too far here, close to the break, find out what happened. Not a lot happened. Maybe it's Joey Chestnut. Maybe it's baseball. Maybe it's Wimbledon. I know round three is continuing right now. Big B, what you got for us, my friend?
You are right, Jason. Wimbledon amping up with third round action. On the men's side, 15 seed Milos Raonic took the first set by a tiebreaker against American Riley Opelka, who's 6'11".
No. Wait a second. He took down. Is that what you said? He took down the set. That's not good.
Yesterday was like bludgeoned to death.
Yeah, I mean, you used box cutter as a descriptor earlier in this show. You can't now talk about how he took down the first set. We're going to need more than that from you.
All right. Well, we have the 5:30 update, and I will be hard at work to spice up my verbiage. But I can tell you that the Raonic-Opelka match is into the third round, and Raonic 7-6, 6-2 in the second set, and is now up a game in the third. On the ladies' front, 15-year-old American sensation Coco Gauff will cross blades with Paulina Herzog today at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. Is that a little bit better for you?
That is better. I like how you slowly approached that read because you were like, cross swords, whatever.
Yeah. On the PGA Tour.
Just totally derailed his entire segment.
Crossing blades.
Same thing. On the PGA Tour, Scott Piercy leads after the first round of the 3M Open after a 9-under 62. He's got a 2-shot lead. Second round starts with Cruz teeing off in about 20 minutes. Hey, you need to make good choices, and with TrueCar, you've got a star on your roster. So when you're ready to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar. TrueCash offer not available in all areas. Cody Bellinger hit his 30th home run as the Dodgers disfigure the Padres 5-1. Tommy Edman hit the go-ahead RBI to forklift the Cardinals past the Mariners 5-4. The Mariners have face-planted to 19 games out of first place in the AL West. We'll be back with the guys in a moment, but first, a word from Farmers.
At Farmers Insurance, we know the sound of a perfect hot air balloon landing. And a less than perfect one. Seen it, covered it. Talk to Farmers.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, exchanges and affiliates. Products not available in every state.
All right, wow. Jeff Short, Jason Martin, back to you guys.
That was the best update I've ever heard.
Yes.
Coming to you live from the Geico Outkick Studios. It's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance. Easy for me to say with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. So that was a fascinating discussion about the salary cap and about free agency and how you can make it more interesting. It was no doubt a lot of fun. It was more fun to watch Sunday take place, I think, than it was anything that happened on the floor over the last season of basketball. Kawhi Leonard, what's going to happen there? And W. Arbro with an interesting point that he was talking to me about during the last commercial break, sitting here with Wimbledon on the screens in the room. That was what I lettered in high school. And American tennis at the time was just absolutely outstanding. And I sat around, I watched the French, I watched all the majors and even the tune-ups for the majors. I watched everything. And now, even though we're in such a great period from a perspective of maybe the best to ever play in Federer, and Nadal's right on that list, and Djokovic is right on that list, there's so many really talented guys, and I don't watch any of this anymore. And I miss tennis being relevant. 877-99 on Fox. That's 996-6369. We'll continue to box cut this show coming up next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Final segment, hour number two. Outkick the Coverage, finishing up your work week. Well, probably not a work week. I don't know.
My
wife
has
work today. Who's working today?
My wife has work today.
Oh, yeah?
She's in the medical industry. They're open every day but, like, 5 days a year.
Yeah.
Because, like, a day like today, when everyone has off, they go to the doctor, they can get their appointments in.
No, that's right. I mean, my girlfriend's a pediatrician. She's working today.
I think my wife said last night, it's like Christmas, New Year's, Labor Day, Memorial Day, and one other. 4th of July, Thanksgiving Day. Friday of Thanksgiving, she's working. It's a very weird. I'm like, every year I ask her, she says the same thing. It's just, yes, I'm working for 11 years now.
And generally, so are we. And we're usually on this show.
Yes, I am. I seriously think my career started in radio. It did. People ask for advice. I say yes to everything. I'm at the point now where I do say no, not to this show, but there are certain things I do say no to. But if our boss texts and says, hey, can you work this show? It's almost always, well, let me talk to my wife. But then it's like 5 minutes later, yes. Like I don't have the option to say no. So I've worked 4th of July. Me and you work Thanksgiving every year, I feel like.
After the Super Bowl a lot.
Yeah. So worked the dead of the summer, which is the worst time to do radio, but we make the most of it.
You never know who's listening. And that's the best advice. That's absolutely true. And I get that same – I get it from a different perspective of people asking me what to do. And, hey, I've got a degree and all this. I'm like, well, one, that's great. But it took me a long time for anybody to give me an opportunity. And all I did was, no matter what it was, even if I thought it was smaller than what I wanted to do, it wasn't ultimately where I wanted to be. It wasn't on the right side of the glass, which is the terminology for being a producer to being somebody that's a host. You just keep on doing it. Like, I was doing high school football in the state of Kentucky. And I was driving to make $20 basically to be a board operator for NASCAR races on the weekends. You just never know. But if you're versatile enough, I was also doing TV and I started writing for Clay and I was writing for SB Nation. I was writing for other people. Like, I just put my name out there. And the other thing I would say, Jeff, and in your case, it's probably a little bit different, but for just the more ordinary folks out there who don't necessarily have the sports background, if that's what you're trying to do, it's do not look at this from a perspective of how much money I can make today.
Yes.
Because your station in life today has nothing to do with where you might be in 5 years.
if you're blessed enough to be in a situation where you cannot worry about the money and just do this when you have the opportunity to do it and still be able to pay the bills the other way, that's how you can actually get the opportunity, because you're not going to break into this business making 50 grand. You're just not. That's not how it works. In TV, when you come out of college and you go to the, 236th market in the country or whatever like that, they're going to offer you a contract for like $24,000 a year.
Yes.
And you just have to be willing to accept that and pay your dues. And if you're good at it and you continue to grind and you don't complain and you don't say no because you think that you have some luxury you don't have, then all of a sudden you never know what's going to happen. I mean, there were a couple of, how did I get this Sunday morning show? I got it because I thought I was just filling in for Jonas Knox for a couple of weeks in a row, and turns out everybody in the world was listening that needed to be listening. You never know who your audience is. You never know who is out there listening to you. So whether or not you're writing a blog for 10 people or not,
yeah,
you just got to, through attrition, keep on going and just, you know, pray that it's going to be taken care of for you when the time comes.
When I thought I wanted, and look, calling games would still be fun, but I'm not really set up to call games anymore. I called peewee football games on the Panthers, yeah, like TV network for like $50. I called three of them just because I needed the reps. I thought it was something I wanted to do, and I needed something for my reel. And I just, like, they're like, you want to do it? $50 and we'll give you a sandwich. I said, sure. We had five.
How about
cameras.
Just give me the sandwich? Just give, yeah, me the sandwich.
We had five cameras for a peewee football game, which is, wow, pretty amazing. But nonetheless, yeah, I just did it because I'd say yes. And obviously, you know, my situation, you know, money wasn't as big of a concern.
Right.
But my time, you know, just like I said, with family and with my wife, and just, she's been great about me saying yes all the time. But yeah, the money, you're not going to make a lot of money, at least not for a while doing this. Even when
you don't get into this business to make money. You might, I mean, like, you're ultimately, you want to make money, but you've got to realize it's going to be some lean years early, yes, on in this thing if you want to make it work. And that's why I said, if you're blessed enough to be able to sit around and wait for the opportunities to break, they will in some capacity. It's not all about necessarily who you know. It's about how hard you work and how long you're willing to work for very, very little in terms of accolade or anything else, and just trying to perfect your craft and get better at it.
I totally agree. It's about putting the time in and improving and being open to criticism as well.
Yeah, so not being Kevin Durant is also something that will help you in the media deal. Kevin Durant, we talked about him to open this hour. There is, it's not news, but it's somebody that's seemingly on the inner circle, weirdly, for Kawhi Leonard, saying that today will be the day that he makes his decision. We will lead off and discuss that coming up in hour number three on OutKick.
This is OutKick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Final hour of the program here for this week on OutKick the Coverage. J. Martin Jeff in for Clay Travis. He'll be in with Jason McIntyre on the Dan Patrick Show coming up. We're coming to you live from the Geico OutKick Studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. We're also brought to you by TrueCar. When it comes to selling or trading in your car, you need to make good choices. And with TrueCar, you got a star on your roster. So when you're ready to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar. True cash offer not available in all areas. Jeff's at Jeff Schwartz. I'm at JMartZone on Twitter. Star on your roster there with that TrueCar read. And the Lakers already have two with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Will they make it three with Kawhi Leonard? Chris Carter has said a lot of stuff and has seemingly been closer to the Kawhi news than a lot of people. But this, Jeff, you saw this and I saw this as well. He was on First Things First here on his show a little while ago on TV, and he said, for Kawhi, this is about which organization is going to support his quest to be the best player in the world and get as many championships as possible. To me, the only team that presents that is the Lakers. I believe there's going to be an announcement today, unquote. That from Chris Carter. And he's talked about his sources and this stuff. The way I read this, though, is this is him stating an opinion. This doesn't necessarily seem like it's informed on any deeper level than just, I talked about this off the top of this show. Kawhi already knows what each one of these situations offers him. There is a stability and a chemistry and a familiarity with the Raptors. There is being in L.A. with the Clippers, and then there's being in L.A., having your brand, marketing, and having a chance to win championships alongside probably the greatest other two guys you could potentially play with. This would be the best of the super teams we have ever seen in terms of pure talent, assuming injuries don't derail it. So we already have all the information, just like Kawhi has all the information, which is the only thing, if anything, that would lead you to eye roll about Kawhi here is this decision's made. He's not sitting here torturing himself trying to decide which situation he wants to be in. He knows. He's just enjoying this for a little while. That's the only opinion I have on Kawhi at this point. I don't know what he's going to do. I thought when he left Los Angeles and flew back to Toronto, that meant he wasn't going to be a Laker. Maybe he's talked himself into it, but I don't think he's going through this in his mind. I just think he is taking his time because he has the ability to, and whether or not he wants to be in front of a camera or not, he enjoys the fact that the rest of the world is talking about him.
He must enjoy the attention, and whether or not he has social media, but you know, there's people in his camp that have probably told him, like, hey, man, everyone's waiting for you to make a decision. You're the last one left. And I know it's odd that Chris Carter, a football guy, would have inside information, but I think him and his Kawhi's agent was Chris Carter's agent. There's something where Chris is closely connected to this. He's been right in the entire process, by the way. So he might be speculating now, or he might know, but just is saying it in a way that he's not just giving it away completely, right? So I would trust Chris Carter here. So it sounds like the Lakers, which obviously as a Lakers fan would be fantastic, but the idea that Kawhi does not know, A, kind of where he's going and the attention he's getting right now, I think are both not valid. I mean, he knows the attention he's getting, and he knows where he's going. Again, you know, these guys, NBA players and sports players in general, are businessmen. Like, we think a step ahead or two, most of us, especially the big dogs, a step ahead or two. And there's no way he did not think about this process before the finals ended, knowing that he was going to be a free agent. He's done the meetings, and the money is the same everywhere. All right. So the money, there's no negotiation for money. The amount, the ability to win right away goes to the Lakers. The ability to kind of sit out 25 games a year, the Lakers, because everyone else can carry the load. The lifestyle, the Lakers again. Now, teammates, chemistry, maybe that's Toronto, at least for now. He knows those guys. But there's really not many things he's going to get in these meetings that he could have done over the phone or that really will sway him in any direction other than, you know, getting assurances from the Lakers that he can use his trainer, LeBron's trainer, or whatever the things that kind of leaked out about that meeting. Nothing is going to change between the time his Raptors meeting ended and now. There's not going to be an awakening by him, an epiphany by Kawhi. There's no more information coming from Los Angeles or from Toronto that's going to sway the decision-making process right now. To me, he's letting this play out for a little bit of attention to kind of maybe take, to have the spotlight. I get what people are going to say. They're going to say, well, it's a life-altering decision. And so much money, and it's uprooting his family. Well, Jason, we talked about this. The money's the same everywhere. The money doesn't matter. There's no decision with money here. Money's the same everywhere. Uprooting your family. He lives in Southern California in the offseason. Toronto is the place where he's uprooting his family at, not the other way around. So players are used to having an off-season home. I did that in my career. I've lived in Charlotte my whole career while having places elsewhere. But those are kind of decisions that you and I might make when it comes to our life and job decisions. It really has no effect on Kawhi. So I hope he wraps it up today. We move on. He becomes a Laker. And remember, Jason, when we were doing the show a couple of years ago, we played the future Laker, Laker drop. Feels like me and Danny and
hashtag future Laker
are all going to be right here.
Yeah, I mean, you named like 40 guys, so you had a good chance.
I named everyone that could possibly be a Laker, but ideally we might end up with the two best of that group.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, the thing about Kawhi is, at this point, why do you take meetings if you're Kawhi Leonard? You talked about what you can accomplish through technology without having to make those deals. It's because you want to be wined and dined and pitched. You want to sit in a room and have a bunch of very high-powered people across the table trying to sell you on them and not the opposite. And there is an intoxication that comes with sitting there and being wanted and being desired and being needed and being craved. And it's hard to escape that, even for Kawhi Leonard, who has walked away from many, many cameras or many opportunities and hasn't done a ton of marketing and things of that nature. And I don't know that that's going to all of a sudden change, but he likes the idea of being pitched. He wants to talk to Magic, and I think he trusts Magic's opinion as it relates to basketball. And so that's why he wanted him involved in some part of that discussion, even if it was on an unofficial context. Let's go to Mike in Modesto. He's on the VIP line. Mike, what's up, my friend?
Jason, as I've said before, man, the most Kawhi's just weighing on his options because he's trying to make the best decision he can for his future. I think he wants to play for the Lakers because he sees that as the titles he can rack up. And I can't remember who said it, but he's a made man. He's got two MVPs in finals, so they can't say he went to the Lakers to take the easy way out. He just wants to rack them up now. And that's why he took three different interviews, because he wants to make sure nobody's lying to him about the medical situation he's concerned about. Getting his own doctors, how did they treat LeBron James? Did they rush him back on the floor? All that stuff. And who would want to play with LeBron James, especially if James is assuring him that he will let him be the man on the floor and tell him, I'm at the end of my career. This will be your and Davis's team, because that is the future of the team. LeBron just wants more titles. And I'll say this, the most important thing is if he's the one carrying the load on his own team, he has to answer the cameras. People want to know what he thinks. Playing for the Lakers, LeBron is the man who does the speaking. He can just ball. I'm going to say that's going to be the biggest part of his decision, is the fact that he can stay low and let LeBron do all the talking, him do all the playing, and that's what's going to be the most important to him. Thank you for the time, as always, Jason. Great show.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate you, man. Hey, look, I mean, there is something to that. The one thing, I had somebody text me a few days ago, a friend of mine in the industry, and he said, LeBron's pitch is, I will be the third option.
Right.
That it'll be you and Anthony Davis. And that makes sense, except in this context. LeBron James ain't never going to be a third option, because people are going to watch LeBron James. LeBron James is the needle mover as it relates to ratings in the NBA. What was one of the problems for the regular season last year? Well, the Lakers are playing on the West Coast, so they're playing later at night. Why do you think we're now seeing all this talk about moving start times earlier? Because it's all about television and sports right now. It's all about how many eyeballs are on these various services. And then you've got, you know, Michael Eisner and various people saying within the next 5 to 10 years, all major sports are going to be off of the networks, and that they're going to be all on streaming services and things of that nature. If Kawhi just wants to ball, this is the place. And this is where I go back and I say, wasn't that always what you heard about Kyrie Irving? That Irving didn't really want to deal with the media and all of that. He didn't want to be the face of anything. He just wanted to go out there and be the killer on the floor. But the problem is, you can't be the number one guy if you're not willing to do both. Not in the NBA, I don't think, Jeff, because, and I've mentioned this before, this is my hierarchy of sports celebrity. Yes. It goes NBA superstars, NFL quarterbacks, college head coaches. Those three to me are far and beyond almost everybody else, because you still don't know, you don't know a lot of guys that are not quarterbacks in the NFL. You just don't, because you don't know their faces because they're wearing helmets. NBA celebrities.
I think Odell transcends that a little bit.
There are a few guys, yeah, but that's more of an aberration.
But I think you're right about quarterbacks, yes.
And then college coaches in many cases are the most powerful people in their states at
Correct.
Certain places. Not
Fair
all enough. Across the country, but certainly where I live and a lot of places. Like, who is more famous, known, and important in the state of South Carolina right now than Dabo Swinney?
No one.
Right. I was waiting. I thought you might have had an answer there because you got quiet. But, well, I mean, there are very few spots.
Nick Saban?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Urban Meyer, when he was in Ohio, was definitely more popular than John Kasich, the governor
yes.
of the state at the time.
Yes.
I think that that's true. I mean, what was the problem? One of the biggest problems with the Penn State situation, without getting into that topic, was that Paterno was the most famous power. Person in the state and had too much power.
Yep.
So I just look at the Lakers situation. If he wants to win titles, there's no easier place to do it than that. And let's not forget, I think we sort of overlooked this. Kyle Kuzma is a pretty solid basketball player, and they were able to maintain him. Yes, they had to get rid of Ingram, who I think is a borderline all-star. If he can, if the blood clots don't derail him, he's got a chance to be a really, really good player. Lonzo does too now that he's out of L.A. Not because he wasn't good enough, but because he needed to get out of that market. He needed to get out of that bubble and go somewhere else where it's more free and he has a bit of a fresh start. So I think that's going to be good for his career. But of the guys that you wanted to keep, if you're a Lakers fan, I imagine most would probably have said Kuzma, and you're able to keep him around with Anthony Davis and LeBron James. You're probably going to get better playing around those guys. So it all really just comes down to what is important to Kawhi Leonard. Is it the relationships first, or is it the championships? Which ships is it? Relationships, friendships, or is it championships? Kawhi has always struck me more as somebody that wants to win titles and wants to win basketball games. And there is definitely no better spot for him to do that over the next handful of years, the next half decade, however long he wants his career to go. And also to extend his career because of the time off he's able to take because of the stars around him, as we've said, Jeff, than L.A. So if that's where he goes, you can't begrudge him, even though I think it might harm the league.
I think for Kawhi, relationships do matter maybe more than other places. Not relationships with players per se, but relationships with the medical staff and with the head coach and with the front office as far as his playing time. Those relationships, I think, matter an extremely big amount to Kawhi Leonard. The relationships with his teammates, maybe not so much. But the relationships, and that's, I think, what he's vetting out with the Lakers, is the training staff, the personal trainer, LeBron's personal trainer, that type of stuff, more than, like, will he get along with LeBron Anthony Davis?
Right.
And that's different than most. I think that's probably different than most players who are looking for relationships with their teammates and then also kind of within the front office. So I think that is unique to Kawhi Leonard, that he is actually looking for those type of things in where he signs. But again, between the time he had the end of his meetings and now, nothing is going to change unless he was waiting to get confirmation back from, like, the Lakers over some issue, which would be bad for Lakers. I mean, he should already have answered all his concerns in their meeting.
They should have had that answer before he ever left the room. Like, whatever it was, they should have had that answer on tap if that was something that was true.
And now that he's won two championships, you know, winning is still very important to him. And that's, you know, but I think the other things are almost like equal in value to Kawhi's thinking. Because remember, he left San Antonio because of issues with the medical staff, supposedly, right? And that's obviously very valuable because he could have kept winning in San Antonio. Built the team up around him and Greg Popovich and whatnot. So that is, I'd say, a lot more than other players. That's important to him.
Well, then, I mean, Toronto offers him something that he can already point to and say, they took care of me last year. And right, they do have some depth on that team.
But what if the Lakers can do that? Plus, he can live in L.A. and
agree.
Close to his family. There's
it's just advantages. A familiarity. It's just I haven't worked with this person before. It doesn't mean that I don't trust him, but is it the devil you know versus the devil you don't? Even though in this case, I don't think either one of those is a bad situation. If he stays in Toronto, it's not going to be a bad life. If he goes to L.A. and plays for the Lakers, certainly not going to be a bad life there either.
The one question and the one interesting part, not really a question, but one interesting part that I think in this whole situation is Rob Pelinka, who is the head of player personnel, whatever we call him, general manager of the Lakers, seems to be not part of this process at all.
Yeah, that's hilarious. He wanted to talk to Magic Johnson, but not Rob Pelinka. Like, Rob Pelinka, all he's wanted to do this whole time is have power and be the GM. If you listen to what Magic said and if you paid attention to kind of how this devolution of the Lakers has taken place over the past couple of years, and Pelinka is still the dude on the outside with the, like, paper cup up against the door trying to listen in on the inside of that room because he's not wanted in that discussion.
And Magic is going to get credit for this which Magic loves. You know he loves.
Oh, yeah. He's
loves
in
the
this.
Credit for this. He's loving the credit for Kawhi if this ends up happening. Because Magic will, the entire city of Los Angeles will credit Magic for this happening. And you know that he just loves it.
He does. So we'll see whether or not the decision is made. Is it good for the NBA if Kawhi Leonard goes to the Lakers? That is a question I want to address, and I'm going to use a superhero analogy to do it. 877-99 on Fox. That's 877-996-6369. If you would like to weigh in, we'll be right back. Jeff Schwartz, J-Mart, in for Clay on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Welcome back. Geico Outkick Studios, Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. We're brought to you by TrueCar. When it comes to selling or trading in your car, you need to make good choices. With TrueCar, you got that star you need on your roster. So when you're ready to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar, True Cash Offer, not available in all areas. 877-99 on Fox. That's 996-6369. Jeff Schwartz, Jason Martin in for Clay Travis. A little big pimping here. Jay-Z. You guess you knew when Kyrie decided to go with Roc Nation what was likely to happen there. That's something the Knicks can't offer. I don't know if Madison Square Garden has the allure it used to, Jeff.
It doesn't, even though people still talk about it with that allure,
yes.
too.
They call it the Mecca.
Yeah.
I don't think that's really, I don't know that that's really there anymore.
I don't think it is either.
Dub, who we got on the line?
We got Sam in Virginia.
Literally asked you that 1 minute before we came back from the break and forgot.
Sam in Virginia wanted to talk a little Kawhi Leonard.
All right, Sam, what you got, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Listen, I think it will be a huge mistake for Kawhi to go to L.A. You know, LeBron has a history of wearing guys out. He's a drama queen. You know, Kawhi's got he's got a great situation in Toronto. First of all, their front office is very buttoned up. They have a great business model going on, and Kawhi's already proven he doesn't need to play with other superstars to win a championship. I think it's a mistake for him to go to the Lakers. I personally don't think he will.
Just remember. Sorry, Jason. Just remember.
No, you're good.
That if Kevin Durant is healthy, they beat the Raptors probably in four games. Like, I know the Raptors won.
No,
but,
no.
Yeah.
No.
Warriors would have won at six, I think.
What?
I mean, I think the Raptors would have got it. I think Kawhi was good enough to get them two games by himself. Maybe five if you want to go there. They would not have swept the Raptors. I'm sorry.
You can't guard Steph Curry with a box and one with Kevin Durant there.
All I'm suggesting is during the regular season, the Raptors beat the Warriors.
The regular season
as well.
Does not. It's a
and they beat them with Kawhi not playing. I'm
regular
not saying
season,
at it. I'm just saying. I'm just saying
matter.
The Raptors. People undercut the Raptors just a little bit. This would not have been a sweep.
Okay, five games then. But my point is the Raptors were not winning if Kevin Durant was healthy. End of story, right? We agree on that, correct?
Yes.
And then we take this whole the conversation is totally different about Kawhi Leonard and where he's going.
The thing, though. The argument, the one part of that argument, I mean, I agree with you. Like I said, he won this thing. He would not have won it in that case. Or he could have, but it was very, very unlikely to do so. But that's the league. That's not a dig at Kawhi. You could put basically anybody on that roster in the same situation against Golden State or someone that's a reasonable facsimile of Golden State. If you take somebody off the Warriors and put them in Kawhi's spot, I don't think they could do it. I think Kawhi, because of what he could do on both sides of the floor and the fact that people rose their game around him and played better around him because of the way he kind of, I don't know, his mentality can get into even perennial losers and kind of turn them around. I felt like he gave him the best opportunity if you just have one guy because he didn't have the flaw in his game that Giannis Antetokounmpo had where he couldn't shoot a jump shot, for example. Kawhi could do whatever it was that you needed him to do on both sides of the floor. But this is a league where you have to have multiple stars to win championships in the absence of injuries. And so you had a couple of injuries, and even Iguodala got banged up and wasn't playing at full strength. And remember, Kevon Looney was out there in a ton of pain as well for the Warriors. The Raptors took advantage, but they also did have Kyle Lowry, who's a former All-Star on that team, right, and Pascal Siakam, who's a borderline All-Star on that team as well. So the best, I think the situation in Toronto is very good. I think Masai Ujiri is a great general manager. I do think that the familiarity and the relationships and the way that Kawhi believed that they took care of him from a medical perspective, giving him medical autonomy, I think that that all does help. I don't think if he goes to L.A., it's in a bad situation. And I think at this point in his career, LeBron's drama queen thing, I don't know that that is quite as big a deal as it once was, especially if he's ready to play facilitator to Kawhi and Anthony Davis.
He's already won two championships. Like, that's the difference with Durant and even, yes, LeBron going to Miami. Is
people
that
are not going to dig him, or they shouldn't dig him, because he's already won two finals MVPs, two finals. He's already won two Larry O'Brien trophies. Yeah. This is not him gravy training. He's not David West.
Plus, I also think his quiet nature leads a lot of people to that will not pile on like they did to LeBron, who had the decision, that goes to Miami, has a press conference in the arena where he says, you know, not one, not two, not three, not four, not seven, right? So he kind of put that pressure on himself after people already did not like the decision. You know, Kevin Durant being down, being up 3-1, losing that series and joining a 73-win Warriors team, and the kind of the blowback from that. Kawhi, look, he's won in San Antonio. He's won in Toronto. He's quiet. I think a lot of people, and me and you disagree with this, believe that he's not in this for the attention. We kind of disagree with that thought. Nonetheless, a lot of people believe that. He's quieter, more thoughtful maybe. The robot-like mentality, the way he talks and plays and trains. And I think that he doesn't get the blowback on that end, which will help him in his image when he goes to Lakers, I think. Now, everyone hates the Lakers. It's great. And this is, I know people say that, you know, him going back to Toronto helps the NBA because of parity and more teams can win, but there's not a villain. We know in sports that people love villains, all right? We know that. The ratings show it. Our talk radio, we talk more about villains. We love villains. And the Lakers become an automatic villain if Kawhi goes there. And it's someone that people will tune in to watch and root against the Los Angeles Lakers. It's great for the NBA.
So I want to see this elite level parity, but I want to make a point on that first. And this is something I've said for a long, long time. And I always try to find a pop culture side of this. And so we're looking at Spider-Man Far From Home making a ton of money right now. Avengers Endgame made a ton of money. Black Panther last year,
movie?
Far From Home, the sequel to Homecoming. But the thing about superhero films is, if you want to find a bad superhero film, the first key is to find one that has a bad villain, one that doesn't have a convincing villain, one with any depth, one with any credibility, and one with any power. And one of the issues with early superhero films before this new renaissance is that the villains would all die in the first film. They'd be dead. And these are villains that would survive for 50 and 60 years in comic books,
yeah,
and would go toe-to-toe, but you would just write them off one after one, and so they would all be relatively weak. So what was the best thing about Black Panther? I mean, you could talk about the message, and you could talk about what it meant to Hollywood and things like that, but on screen, the best thing about Black Panther was probably Michael B. Jordan and the performance as Killmonger. That was sort of what made that film what it was. What is Endgame? What is Infinity War without Thanos? And so here is my thought on this, and this has long been the way that I've viewed it. What you really want, you're not going to verbalize this, but what you want is exactly what we got in the NCAA tournament, where Duke almost lost to Virginia Tech. Duke almost lost to Central Florida. Now, they did get beat, but what you want is the Goliath, where there's hope to beat the Goliath, where you're tuning in to see the Goliath get beat, and it's so close, and then it gets snatched back away from you, because then you will shell out your wallet again to see that happen. But if you've got a credible villain, then you have a reason. There is no hero without a great villain. I don't care if Batman exists if the Joker isn't the Joker.
Yeah.
And so I do think that there is something to be said for having a Goliath to create a David. But with that said, let me give you this list. LeBron James and Anthony Davis in L.A. Jokic and Murray in Denver. Russell Westbrook and Paul George in Oklahoma City. Steph and Clay, and you can even throw Draymond, and I don't think D'Angelo Russell's going to be there very long, but you can throw them out there in Golden State. Porzingis and Doncic in Dallas. Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum in Portland. CP3 and Harden hate each other, but they're still, you know, first ballot Hall of Famers in Houston. Durant and Kyrie Irving at some point. Embiid and Simmons. Giannis and Chris Middleton. Even Conley and Mitchell in Utah. And that's not even throwing in their guy down low. Kawhi Leonard, if he stays in Toronto with Lowry or with Siakam. Oladipo and Brogdon, kind of a good backcourt in an improved Indiana team. You've got right there, I think it's 11, it might actually be a dozen teams with two superstars on it, all of which are good basketball teams. And then the arms race becomes, who do you surround these guys with? Whose role players show up in the end, because there's so many stars in all these spots? It's not mediocre parity, it's elite parity. And that is very enticing, because that makes me want to watch an 82-game regular season. So I think there's a push-pull here. I think there's a good part of this to create the supervillain, the Thanos in the NBA, the snap. Kawhi Leonard goes there and you snap and half the NBA disappears almost immediately. Right. But I also think that there's something to be said for the parity argument because of how much marketable talent currently exists in the NBA. Yeah, that's a great interview of Joey Chestnut. Joey, you started out really fast and then you slowed down. What happened there? Yeah, I started out pretty quick and then I slowed down. Like, that was the Joe in Bakersfield of post-game pressers.
Like, listening to him talk about just, like, swallowing the...
Yeah, that's enough, man. I needed to chew differently so that I could swallow those things better. Like, all right, man. Like,
enough.
I wonder what Peter King thought about that. Did you see that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We talked about it yesterday, didn't we? But his old tweet. Yeah, just brutal, dude. Oh, Jesus.
Joey Chestnut called him a narrow-minded sports writer.
Did he really?
Definitely the most unexpected social media feud of the year is Peter King versus Joey Chestnut.
Oh, by far. That's fantastic. I didn't realize that was.
Yeah, Chestnut's firing back at him. Because he's talking about how Nathan's and how all of these eating contests end up donating a lot of food to homeless people, and Peter King's talking about gluttony. Like, I'm looking around to find Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman hanging around. Like, we're watching Seven all of a sudden. The whole thing is ridiculous. We are not going to spend a lot of time in a hot dog eating contest, but Peter King v. Joey Chestnut is a reason to bring back MTV Celebrity Deathmatch, if ever there was one, to put these two guys in clay and let them fight. And I don't mean in Clay Travis. I mean in actual clay. Did you ever watch Celebrity Deathmatch?
I don't think so.
Yeah, you might be too young. It was a thing back in the day. The thing that's happening right now continues to be Kawhi, and we just keep refreshing Twitter to see if something's happened. And usually it's just someone else saying what they think is going to happen. Jalen Rose was 99% sure. Chris Carter seems to be sure it's going to be the Lakers and it's going to be today. I don't know. When we come back on the other side to finish up the show, Jeff, I laid out the argument for parody and I laid out the argument for supervillain. We will debate which one of those two things is better for the NBA. And if you've got thoughts, still a little bit of time to get in at 877-99 on Fox or 996-6369. You can tweet Jeff at Jeff Schwartz or me at JMartZone with your thoughts as well. We'll be back to finish up this shebang next here on Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Final segment of your week here on Outkick the Coverage, Fox Sports Radio. Anywhere in the country, foxsportsradio.com, the iHeartRadio app. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis. Consume this show however you want, whenever you want, at whatever speed you want, 24/7, 365, through your podcast catcher of choice. Also, go further than ever with the Discover It Miles card. They automatically match the miles you earn at the end of your at 35,000 miles you got, that could become 70,000. You don't even have to do anything. Discover in miles. Limitations apply. Discover match for new card members only. Learn more at discover.com/travel. Have fun the last 2 days with Jeff Schwartz. He's down in Charlotte. I'm Jason Martin. He's at Jeff Schwartz. I'm at JMartZone. So, Jeff, read the tea leaves that we should not try to read when it comes to this guy. Is this thing going to actually come to an end today? Does Kawhi make the decision on July the 5th?
I can't imagine why not. What's going to happen this weekend or today or any time that's going to change his mind? Like, make your decision, dude. Get it over with. Go to Los Angeles. Go enjoy your weekend. I can't imagine, just from his mindset of going into this weekend and not kind of having a plan already of where you're going to go. Right? I can't imagine why he wouldn't make his mind up.
I mean, I can't either. Unless he just wants to keep this thing going longer, which doesn't... At some point, it just seems like, all right, now we've probably done enough of this. So, the argument for parity, when there's this much talent spread around, and the argument for a supervillain of all supervillains to be created with the Lakers and LeBron and Anthony Davis and Kawhi Leonard, which one is better for the NBA?
I'm a Lakers fan.
Yeah, try to take that out of it. I know that's
I don't quite believe that parity is good for sports. I think the idea of parity is good. It's good when you think you have a chance to win. This is what the NFL does best, by the way. The NFL does this best. And the NFL has parity compared to other leagues, except the Patriots. They're not parity. But the NFL sells parity better than any other sports league. You know, there's 20 to 22 fan bases right now that think if things break right, we can win the Super Bowl this year, right? Browns fans think that if things break right, they can win the Super Bowl this year. It's the only league that's like that. Now, so if Kawhi goes back to Toronto or goes to the Clippers, then there's like 10 fan bases maybe who think, you know, Sixers, maybe the Celtics, the Bucks, the Pacers, I think their fans might feel that way. The Jazz, the Lakers, the Warriors, the Raptors, right? There's a lot of fan bases. Now, that's not really very realistic, but there's a lot of fan bases that think if things break right, we can do that. If Kawhi goes to the Lakers, that changes to the Lakers are the clear favorites. If someone gets hurt, maybe we have a chance to knock off the Lakers, but it puts a villain into the NBA. If Kawhi goes to the Raptors, there's no villains anymore. And so
Wait a second. All right, you're right. Like, I know what you're saying, but this league has always been that way.
Correct.
Maybe seeing it different for a small period of time, at least, could allow a flourishing in some other markets, some other teams, because there is more hope created there. I just kind of think the idea of watching the regular season where you don't feel like you know what's going to happen in June.
Well, we didn't know the Raptors were
something kind of cool.
We know the Raptors were going to win the championship.
We knew they were going to be really good in the East. We didn't know that there were going to be injuries to Golden State. I don't want it to always have to be injuries in order for us not to be able to predict what's going to happen.
That's a big part of sports. If you look at the last 10 years, we've had, I think, 7 champions, but a lot of them have been repeat champions, right? The Warriors have been repeat champions. The Spurs are repeat champions. The Lakers are repeat champions. The Celtics are repeat champions. The Heat are repeat champions. So even though we've had maybe more parity than usual, these are winners that we've had over the history of the NBA. The Cavs are new, but that's more like LeBron than more the Cavs than anything else. The Mavericks winning their championship as well. I think it's best for the NBA if he goes to the Lakers. It gives the NBA a villain. The Christmas Day game with LeBron James and Anthony Davis and Kawhi Leonard playing the Warriors is honestly a better draw than if Kawhi wasn't on the Lakers and the same matchup was happening.
Oh, well, sure. But then why am I watching, for example, I don't know, Jazz Thunder? Why am I watching Jazz Blazers?
Jason, you're not going to watch it anyways.
I don't know that that's true. If I actually believe that those teams are competing for championships, one thing that I have trouble watching is like a college football game between the number 22 and 24 best teams in the country. Because I know I'm basically just watching an exhibition game. I'm not watching something that's going to lead to anything but a bowl game that does not matter.
Oh, I watch it anyways, but yes.
I mean, so do I, but I'm just talking about from a mental perspective. It's hard for me to invest the same degree without a dog in the fight.
I don't think you would watch Oklahoma City Jazz you're either going to watch it or not watch it. It doesn't matter if Kawhi is playing or not on a Christmas Day game.
Well, I'm not talking about that. I'm not about Christmas Day. I'm just suggesting that watching those two teams when you think they have a chance to maybe win a championship is more interesting than otherwise. That's where I'm at on that.
Yeah, I think fans are tuning in for the playoffs. I think it's your point anyways.
I mean, maybe so. And maybe that's, you know, that's what Adam Silver's trying to do, is find a way to make people watch before the playoffs. All right, Jeff, you and I will be in for a week here in a couple of weeks. So we'll see you again then. Hopefully you'll have your iPad by then. Clay and Jason McIntyre coming up for Dan Patrick.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.